Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. First of all, I just wanted to say that I do cuss. So be forewarned, I will try not to, but it may slip out. I was going to say thank you to Janet for asking me to speak, but at this moment, I'm not really thankful about it. So I am really nervous. I have put it together an outline so I may look down and kind of look at my notes. I joined OA in November of 2020, and I'd been to an OA meeting probably around 30 years ago. And I remember walking in and walking out and thinking, am I a compulsive overeater? Nah. And then ignored it and then spent all of this time just doing what I did, which was gain weight, get on a diet, lose weight, gain weight, and that same yo-yo. I became abstinent this year in January, and I didn't become abstinent, so that was like a year and what? 14, about 14 months, until I admitted that I was weak, and and admitted to my higher power, and it basically was overnight from that day. I at my heaviest, I was 150-ish, and I didn't come into the program at that weight. But I can I share a photo of what I looked like? Is that possible? Okay, so I'm going to share. Let me see if I can. So let me know if you can you see it? So this is what I looked like last year around November, and this is me now. And I just took this over the weekend. So I am really short. I'm 5 foot tall. Although I've been told by my girlfriend that she thinks I'm shorter than that, and I will not admit that, and I won't have anyone measure me either, and I don't want to know. So I think I didn't really hit a bottom. I was just when I joined, when I came to, frankly, I have no recollection of how I got back on the OA website. I just was there. I was just tired of doing the same thing that I did over and over again and getting the same results. And I was like, I was tired of that. So I'm going to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I really don't have that many memories of food as a kid. I just have two or three, and one was, I don't know if they do that this still, but there's children's aspirin and it has the flavor of orange. And I found them when I was around 7 years old, and it was a full bottle. And I was like, ooh, candy. And I ate the whole thing. And I had to get my stomach pumped. And so it's like, so that was my first memory. And then my other memory of food was when I was around 9 years old and I found a bag of sweet bready things. And it was, and I'm not kidding, it was probably a bag about this big. And I ate the whole thing. So those were kind of my food memories. I was always kind of a normal sized kid until teenage years when I started gaining weight. I don't remember having, and I think that probably because I was that, because there wasn't that many choices or that many ways to eat in my home. It was very restricted, so I didn't have free access to food. A couple of I've always been an addictive personality. So you name it, I probably do it. I was very, very, very fortunate, and I give this to my higher power. I tried crack when I was young. And what I mean by young is after I left home. So in my early 20s, and I got, and I loved it. And my gum started bleeding. And I freaked out, went to the doctors, and of course I didn't tell the doctor, hey, I, did this. But it freaked me out. So I just kind of like threw what I had and didn't touch it again. I'm still compulsive. So I will compulsively watch TV. I will compulsively read. Some of that's going away slowly, but it's still there. In terms of, I'm going to start from the beginning because that's really where it started for me. I was born in Argentina and I had a lot of instability from the get-go. My mom died when I was two, in childbirth with my sister. And in those days, and I don't know if it was just where we lived or the reason, but my sister needed a wet nurse. So she and I were moved around from house to house. And I just had this feeling of not ever knowing what the rules were because rules changed from house to house. And my dad was kind of MIA. I think he was working, but I don't recall seeing him. I know that my dad was blamed for my mom's death because apparently she wasn't supposed to get pregnant again. And we were Catholic, so you know how that goes. Life, so my dad moved me, my stepmother, and he, and we all moved to the States when I was five, but he left my sister to be raised by my aunt and uncle, and which I've always had, I still have to do amends to my sister because I basically, I felt a lot of guilt over that, and I basically have abandoned her. My dad was a functional alcoholic, so he teetered and. And I'm sure that he had some mental illness. He teetered between depression and rages, and he really didn't have any boundaries, and he's told me things that probably I should not know as a kid. And my stepmother was also abusive and also I won't say the religion name, but it was very restrictive, and some people think it was a cult. But I remember one of their beliefs was that the world was going to come to end in 1977, and I felt like I was never good enough, and that I certainly was not going to survive that. So it kind of went like this. The years were fine until about when my sister was born, which was nine, and then things started changing, I think, because at least in my mind, I was a cute little kid, and so I was also submissive, and so my stepmother had someone to dress up, and then my sister came, and she was the new, she was her child. I stopped being submissive around 12. I actually found a book, an astrology book that said, I'm a Pisces, and it said that I was Pisces were submissive. So I said, fuck that. I'm not going to be submissive anymore. And I started rebelling, and I did not want to go to church. So there was just a lot of craziness. And I think part of that was my stepmother was, her first language is Spanish, and she never really, could I have the time? I'm not quite sure how much time I have. And
Ten minutes remaining.
Okay. So, you know, there was still a lot of craziness. Some of my books were burned, school books were burned, just because I think my stepmother didn't know English, and she was unaware. I was basically forced to go back to church. Actually, I was forced to go back to Argentina when I was 18 to, quote, straighten me out. And it didn't do that. It was like, oh, freedom. Oh, people actually like me. So it was like this gave me some strength. And so when I came back, they wanted me to go back to church, and I didn't want to go. And so they told me, you have to go back this Sunday. And it was a Friday night. And while they were in Bible study, I left. So I left home since I was 18. I thought that things would be okay at that point, and they weren't mentally. So I started going to therapy very young. And then fast forward to, I met my husband when I was 23, and it was like, I feel like it was the greatest gift of my life. He was an amazing person, and he showed me what unconditional love was. So he passed away in 2014, and I've been really, really blessed. So I'm going to go to kind of what food is for me. I used food to cope. So food's always been a numbing agent. I pretty much can compulsively eat anything I can eat. I mean, I think the only thing that I wouldn't compulsively overeat would be like plain broccoli. So whatever it is, I can compulsively eat. And I had to really think about how can I tell that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I realized that if I have a bottle of alcohol on the countertop, I can think, oh, there it is, and then just walk away. Like, I got to get to throw it away because I haven't even touched it, you know, in however long. And then I forget about it. And like, oh, there it is again. And it's like, food has never been like that for me. Food has always called me. Like I said, I came to the rooms when I was, in November 2020. And, and I didn't hit rock bottom. I just felt like I didn't want to do the insanity of doing the same thing over and over again, which was lose weight, gain weight, lose weight. And right now I am on step 5. I'm finishing my step 5 today. So there's a lot going on today. Today I have food neutrality, which is a great gift. I am still shocked that I can not finish, like actually eat enough and then just have food left on my plate. That is still a miracle. And I wanted to share this dream I had, and because I feel like it shows how I feel about this program. And this dream was from January 2001. And at the time, after I dreamt it, I thought, that's cool, but I don't get it. My mom had this horrible disease that caused pain. I guess it was a communicable disease. I tried to avoid the things she had touched, but someone told me I already had the disease. I was trapped in this town, maybe in this room, but sometimes I got out. I got out and I started running away. As I ran away, I get to the edge of the city. I can't go further. The ocean is hundreds of feet below. It's as if I'm on a high cliff. I'm going to jump. A woman says, you can't jump. Your disease. Apparently the disease and water don't mix. And I say, I'd rather die than live like this. And I jump. I plunge into the ocean, and now I have very little tiny lamb in my hands. I hit the bottom of the ocean, and I look around, and I'm not too scared. Then I'm out of the water, and I'm free. I'm dancing and say, I'm free, I'm free. People are having dinner outside of restaurant patios, and I'm dancing around close to the restaurant tables, and I continue dancing, and I say, I'm free. And that is how I feel about this program. It's giving me so much freedom and growth, and it's giving me connection, which I didn't have before I joined this program. And with that, I pass.